LX Mobile, monitoring.
D4DJW Mobile.
4HGX, good afternoon, Dave. I'm probably a little scratchy.
Are you going to hang around down here for the meeting, or are you headed back up the mountain?
Take it to the meeting tonight. I've got some prior engagement I have to take care of.
And that completely. Well, I just now leaving the neighborhood to head out to Tanner's Big Orange on 291.
Pretty good ways down there for me.
The meeting they had before last, where it was held there?
Yeah, that's that.
Either that's when I had COVID, so I wasn't going anywhere. That was the beginning of September, I think, is when I had COVID. Yeah, the beginning of September. No, maybe it was the month before. I can't remember now. It's all a blur.
How time does that to you?
A little bit there. That was the beginning of August. So then September was Labor Day, so that's why I missed that one. So it's been two since I've been to one. But what'd you say? Say that again, because it's all breaking up.
Amazing how time does that to you.
I used to never have problems like that when I was back in my 30s and 40s and 50s. Back in the 60s, and it's rapidly changing. I told my wife the other day I was walking on my left foot, and it was painful to do that. When I get up in the morning, it's a little more painful than the other one is for a longer period of time. And she just looked at me and rolled her eyes and said, "You're getting old."
I'm not there yet, but I can tell you, since I've hit my mid-40s, I can tell the difference in my memory for sure.
Exercise, I'm told. The longer you can delay that, but you gotta keep it busy with something, which you're doing right now. But when you retire, you gotta find something else to keep it busy.
Still got ham radio then.
And as long as you're learning new stuff and doing new things, that you're not just using the old stuff, but learning new stuff, which is, you know, one of the things ham radio is all about.
Be in a bad spot now. Almost completely on that one.
On the hill, which now I am at the top of the next hill. Did that clear it up?
And I know what you're saying, though, but I agree with you 100%. And I like to learn new things, so I hope I never lose that.
Now the next hill. So I could be hilltopping for a little bit. But, yeah, I can tell that. I can tell that by your interest in DMR, your interest in knowing the menus on all the different types of radios and learning them really quickly. Yeah, it's apparent.
I just like to learn. I guess that's why I like working on cars. Towards the end, though, it just got to where I just can't stand to see one of them anymore.
Breaks on some things and go to other things and then come back to those other things. But I got really lucky when I was entering ham radio. So was a buddy of mine who I didn't meet him until I got on ham radio. But he had the same thirst for knowledge that I did. And we were both brand new at ham radio at the same moment. So we learned it. We took 10 years and learned just about everything we could learn.
What me and Chad and Daniel are doing, learning it all together. So we all got in about the same time, and so I've really enjoyed it.
Tremendously, because sometimes you get bogged down and the other guys pick you up. Sometimes they get bogged down and you pick them up. It's good to have somebody to do that with you. I really enjoyed it. Sometimes we got carried away, and Ray was the repeater custodian back then. He had to look at us sternly so that we would quit doing what we were doing. but he understood, because when he was young, he was doing the same thing.
My experience for the most part is most of the older guys are just like, "You're learning." And they'll either point you in the right direction or, you know, help you figure it out.
Well, I enjoyed it a whole lot of that learning, because I thought, you know, become a ham radio operator and know how my airplane transmitter was working and its airplane's receiver. and that's just not how it works. I did some digging, but eventually I did find it, but it wasn't just by getting my license.
I've enjoyed a lot of it, and the DMR is actually a lot of fun to learn. I've had a good time learning it. It's a little frustrating at times, because until Richard had come along, really didn't have anybody to talk to or bounce it off of. There wasn't a lot of, talk about it.
It's kind of new. This is the IOP, VOIP, voice over IP, VOIP solution before DMR. And DMR really organized Echolink in a lot, finer organization than Echolink's like a coarse grain DMR. And DMR's like a fine grain DMR. But we got that working, figured it out, and then went on to other things, learned digital ham radio on the lower sides of the bands and the different modes and how they work and what they offer and what they don't offer versus the other ones. And that was a whole lot of fun. Wore out several radios doing that. Digital mode is continuous duty. And a lot of those radios, they're rated not at continuous duty. So if you use them for digital for too long, you'll wear them out. And I did that with a few of them. But it was fun. I mean, that's the cost of learning. It's not free.
Education is not free. It's either costing you time or money.
On, especially when you do something wrong. And you have to dig down in your pocket because you did something wrong. That's the deep learning there.
That's what I used to tell the guys I was training when I was in automotive, is you're going to make mistakes and just use them as an education not to do it again. And I would let them, when I was training them, I'd let them make, mistakes that weren't going to cost anybody or get anybody hurt. It was just costing time. I would let them make those mistakes. That way they learn not to do that again and think about things, improve their critical thinking skills.
I'm sure they remembered that and they passed it on. That's the same way my dad used to do me. He wouldn't answer all my questions. I'd come inside and I said, "What is this? I just took this manifold off and there's this silver thing down there. What is that?" And he'd pull out the Chilton's manual and he'd open it up and he'd point to it and he'd look at me and say, "Read." And I'd read and then I'd go out there and do the next part of this. That was on my first rebuild on a 1965 Mustang with a 289. A V8, 289 V8, and my mother drove it with the, somebody overheated it before I bought it, and the little caps that go around the valve stems, those little shields got brittle, went down in the oil pump, or in the oil pan, and got picked up by the oil pump, and locked the oil pump up, and it spun that rod between the distributor cap and the oil pump, just spun it right in two, and then the bearings and everything went out. So I just ordered me a short block from J.C. Whitney, and rebuilt that thing with a Chilton's manual. Me, a short block assembly, and a Chilton's manual, and with my dad's tools, and got it running again.
I have the one that comes to mind the most is a friend of mine that we still keep in touch. He was doing an engine job on an older truck, and that little engine plate that goes between the trans and the engine. And I reminded him, I make sure you don't forget to put this in, three or four times. And sure enough, he didn't put it in. I let him set the engine all the way down in there and get it bolted up. None of the accessories or anything. But then I walked over there and I asked him, I said, "Did you forget anything?" And he looked around for a minute and I reached down and kicked it with my foot. And I said, "Did you forget anything?" He ended up having to pull that back out, but I guarantee he don't forget that again.
Hard lesson learned. I remember doing that from under the car, with the transmission, pulling transmission back, and putting it back up there and leaving something out and having to take that whole thing out again. Hey, man, you won't do that but once or twice in your life.
You make sure you have everything when you're going together, and then also, don't forget these parts, but it teaches you that process you need to go through. And he'll still remember that today. I've talked to him recently, and he brought it up. So I know he hadn't forgot that yet.
Debbie, I remember building tools before, I mean, and then you'd see them later, they'd come out with a tool in J.C. Whitney's book. That's what I had back then. It was either I could go to Montgomery Woods or I got in the J.C. Whitney book. Because I don't think there was an AutoZone or any of that kind of stuff. None of that stuff existed back then. It was Toys, Guns, and Yo-Yos where the AutoZone is in Taylor's. TGNY. It was like a Kmart kind of a thing. I used to have to make my own tools, like a pilot shaft, to line the clutch plate up so that when you put the thing up there and you're holding a heavy transmission up and you're trying to get that rod to go through that hole in the clutch, and it won't go through. It helps to have a little wooden dowel to get that thing lined up when you put it on so that it slides right in there, no problem.
Comment?
Go ahead, Chad. KO4H gas.
KO4NUE. I'm just enjoying the conversation. Y'all go ahead. Just going to let you know I'm here.
You headed toward the meeting?
I've got other obligations, Dave. Monday nights are just tough with the club and all. But, no, sir, I will not be able to attend.
That's Steve and me. I go to this one, and he goes to the airplane meeting. The first Monday of the night, the airplane meeting is at the same time as the ham radio meeting. So he goes one, and I go to the other, and then we share notes afterwards.
Well, y'all go ahead. Don't let me hold you up. Just go let you know. I was enjoying the conversation.
I'm sure you got stories too, but guys, I am pulling in the driveway, so. I'm going to say 7-3 for now. Good to talk to both of you. Always enjoy it. I'm clear.
I can see I enjoyed it too, very much. Enjoy the evening. I'm going to get fuzzy here in a few minutes, Chad, because I am going into the shadow of Tennis Mountain. I'm at Dunkin' Donuts on White Hampton, headed toward Greenville. So it's going to get scratchy on me pretty soon.
Hey, well, just real quick, did you get my videos? Did you see the extension? You seeing anything in there that I'm missing?
That I could see is the torsion rod, the things that keep it from twisting. When I look at videos of towers that came down, most of the time on their way coming down, they roll on the axis of the length of the tower, and that starts to tumble toward earth. And I know the big towers on the mountains got those diagonal torsion rods that keep it from twisting. And I don't know if Bob, I know absolutely nothing about tower mechanics, but I was just wondering about those.
Got you, but I think you're talking about the Z-bars. I'm thinking I'm going to have to add some, but, you know, hey. It's a good starting point, so I'll take a closer look at that tomorrow, but I guess all in all, that is schedule 40, which is quarter inch wall thickness, so it's pretty thick. That is the bottom run. I was hoping I could compensate and not have to worry about the Z-bars by jumping up schedule 40, but I don't know. We'll see.
And another thing I thought about is that is the bottom 12 feet, so it's closest to the earth, so it's okay if it's that heavy. You wouldn't want to put that heavy stuff up that high, you know, up at the top, but down at the bottom, that's a good foundation for it to sit on, so probably less of a problem that close to the earth. Anyway, if I'm getting scratchy, just let me know and I'll quit. W4DJW.
Run, and I got the hinge plate. Almost finished, but caught my pants leg on fire and had to quit. Decided I'd quit for the day, so I came up here and made some supper and was listening to the handy, just listening to you and Patrick talk on. So I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna take a look at it and see. I should be the tower section I had was 38 feet. And I can't find anything that'll match up to it dimension wise, so I just, well, shoot, I'll just build one. So I should be at 52 feet at the tip. and I don't know that I want to go any higher.
Well, that's a good height. 50 feet is good. You're getting up there into the bottom of the Nirvana. As long as you can dip into the Nirvana, that's good enough. But I think that should probably be fine. I don't see any issue with that. Is this one going to go out there at the machine shop, or is it going to be at the house?
You wouldn't believe the honeydews I had to do to get it up here near the house. So. Yeah, I'm gonna put it up here near the house, get it as close to the ham shack as I can, cut down on loss, you know. But I mean, it took me 2 months of honeydews just to agree to get it up near the house.
Well, job well done, worth the effort. It'll pay off in the long run. I'm sure you'll enjoy that ability. Gary has one similar to that. I'm sure you've seen his. The shorter the run of the feed line, the better. Everything just works easier. It'll work with longer ones. You just got to work harder for it.
Yep. Well, you had a good day today, Dave.
I'm taking care of a 13-year-old puppy dog. She's not doing well. She had to go get her teeth cleaned, and she had to have a brace removed off her back. And she's been a little lethargic for the last few days, and today she started picking it up a little bit, and that was rewarding. And it's hard to see them when they get that old. You know, that's 13 years old in dog years, about 91, 92 years old in human years.
I know Casey's starting to get a little age on him. I think he's 10 at this point, so. And he's got some joint problems from, you know, genetic from birth. So he's really struggling, especially in cold weather. But, you know, I get it. All right, bud. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. It was nice talking to you. And you be safe. Have a good time at the club meeting. KO4NUE 73, Dave. I'm clear.
I'm going down 291, so it's only going to get worse for me. But anyway, take care. Good talking to you. KO4NUE, W4DJW Mobile.
DJW, N4ZLK Mobile.
How are you doing this evening?
Just wanting to get a signal report. Had to change tractors and just did an install on this one. Want to know how it sounded?
Good position, but you do sound 100% readable. It's not full scale, but that's because I'm at the bottom of a hill in the shadow of Paris Mountain. But you're completely readable. It sounds good.
I changed the route at work. I'm going to be working during the night right now for the next few months. And along with the change of a route came a change of a tractor. So I had to take everything out and reinstall it in another one.
It's going to be around this area? It's going to be under the umbrella of the repeater, or is it further out?
I'm here. I'm going to Granger and Fountain Inn right now, and then I'll go to Spartanburg, come back to Greenville, and then I'll head out to Atlanta about 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight.
I go all the way down to Atlanta?
Four. Not too bad. Takes about 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to where I need to go.
You have an 8-2 repeater down there in Atlanta, right?
I don't know if I know about an 8-2, but I've found several others, but haven't heard any activity on them in the middle of the night yet.
Worry about it, it's because my son had a really good place up in Traveler's Rest. It was high in Traveler's Rest. And when he talked on 8-2, he would pull up both the Atlanta repeater and the Paris Mountain repeater.
Not many people talking in the middle of the night, apparently.
Sometimes, I'd go into Charlotte sometimes and I wouldn't hear anything on the 9-4. They've got a 9-4, like our Sierra Club has a 9-4. And I'd key up, I'd throw my call out there on the 9-4 when I was getting close. Then I'd have to leave and go into Gateway Village and they'd be talking when I left. So sometimes it just takes somebody getting it started.
I'll snoop around and see if I can find which one has the most activity, but anyway, I need to go. I'm pulling off here at my first exit, so thanks for the signal report. Good to hear you tonight, and we'll talk to you later. N4ZLK.
Good evening. Have a safe drive. N4ZLK, W4DJW Mobile.
Mobile.
Range GX, good afternoon, Andrew.
Patrick, what radio are you on? You must be in the main car, right?
HT at the house.
Hey, you sound so different.
Head back to my Kenwood in there in the shack.
Good job, then.
Pretty good from what I hear. It's got pretty good feedback on it. Normally everybody says it's good and clean.
That's crystal clear. So you got off work early today then, didn't you?
About my normal time. I was actually running behind up till lunchtime, but then I had a couple of shops that I knew were going to be closed. They were taking some time off. One shop went back to Columbia, where they're from, to visit family, and then I don't remember what the other one was doing, but I knew they weren't going to be there.
I guess I'm running behind too today. And apparently 85 is a mess, so I ain't going to chance it. I just went ahead, went the back way home.
I heard something about 85 being a mess, and then I also heard there was power lines down on 14 somewhere around Greer.
I should have known better to stay so late, but it is what it is. I had to do some more work before I left.
What are you doing working so late? Because, I mean, this is late for you.
And then clock out at about 6 o'clock, and that's definitely a lot later than I normally would stay, but I just had a couple more things, a quality topic come up, and I didn't feel right leaving without doing some research, but I think B-Ship's going to have to handle it tonight, and we'll see what they say. So, well, how was your day overall, though? Pretty good?
Good day. Like I said, I was running behind a little bit this morning, but picked it up this afternoon, so it all worked out. But all in all, a good day.
My shops that are closed down on vacation and stuff.
I got my usual TR group that don't come in until, 9, 10 o'clock, sometimes later.
Beauty sleep after all. Come on now.
Bet if that's the case.
I hear you. I can understand that.
On y'all this morning like that, but y'all were having a good conversation, and I just wasn't going to ask everybody to move over.
I know by then I had to walk on in the plant and try to get everything together for the meet.
I just hate interrupting the conversation to do that, so it was one of those.
Bother me, like I said, I got the microphone in my hand, all I gotta do is hit one button on it and it flips over to the other VFO. I mean, as long as my volume's turned up, I ain't really gotta take my hands off and touch the radio.
Mine is too, but I know some of the other guys, it's a little harder for them to do it.
Let's try again. I think I'm in a bad spot because you cut in and out.
A little bit with the repeater this afternoon, going in and out, and maybe the wind blowing up there. For HKX, did I lose you, Andrew?
Still here. I was trying to wait for me to get away from that red light. And it gets kind of weird right there in, I think it's Duncan, with that little intersection right after another intersection. And it's a crappy little area crossing those railroad tracks. But they'll be picking up pretty good now. So I don't know if it's a repeater or where I was at. Either way.
Playing this evening.
I'm sure I'll probably go home and go play on the radio or something, see if there's something interesting I can get into. I hope my son mowed grass today, but I doubt it. I bet I'm going to pull up and the grass will still be tall.
Club meeting tonight?
At this point, I'm headed home. By the time I get home and eat supper, it's probably a good chance I'm not doing that.
I have to come home. I got to work on my son's car this afternoon. He's going out of town later this week, so we're trying to get it fixed up for him.
That resource when he needs car worked on.
Time to show him how to do it, and trying to teach him a few minor things about him.
Boys off the Xbox. My youngest will come out every once in a while. I think he watched me change the oil one time, but after that, he just really got no interest in it. shoot, I got to figure out what's going on with my truck. It's been giving me a little weird. I wouldn't say it's an error, but it's definitely something that's not supposed to happen.
No, loosen up behind the wheel, KP4CPA.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. The low range and high range, the two lights for the four-wheel drive, will come on, and then I get an audible tone, you know, out of the dash, like it's doing something it's not supposed to do. And sometimes it'll go away on its own, and sometimes you turn the truck off, let it sit, and then when you crank it back up, it'll be gone. But it's not showing an error like something I can read on the OBD.
Get factory scan tool where it could go a little more in depth, and I've seen that, and I was trying to remember what it was, and I want to say it was something where the four-wheel drive low input switch was giving some issue on those. Truck would think it's going into four low while it's going down the road. That's why it would make the audible tone and all that come on.
Dave?
It's messing with you. I don't have a clue, but I hope you can figure it out. I know those things can be annoying, especially when they won't set a code and give you a direction or at least a place to start.
It's been weird. I mean, like I said, it's done it probably two or three times now. It's usually right after I crank it up. And then it'll show, like I said, it'll. I don't remember if it's the low range, and then it'll show four-wheel drive or something. I can't remember because it pops up for a second, and then it gives me that tone. And I've had it where it goes right back away, and then I've had another time where I had to turn the truck off, let it sit for a second, and turn it back on. So who knows? I might have to pull out the laptop and dive into the OBD a little bit deeper with the better software.
HKX Andrew, did I lose you?
You did if you didn't hear anything I just said.
I want to try Googling the symptoms too. I'd be surprised what you can find out.
Yeah, I think I checked a little bit, but usually what happens is it pops up when I'm on the way to work or something, and it just really don't cross my mind later on to look it up, but then I'll think about it at another time. It's usually when I'm driving down the road, so I don't do any Google foo then.
Y'all carry on. I just made a quick run to CVS, so I'm back at the house. Just wanted to get in there and irritate you for a minute. 73, so y'all have a good evening, KP4CPA.
Jump on in here, irritate anytime you want.
Turn a little up.
Patrick, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. I had to go switch radios. I don't know what happened. Everything got scratchy up here. KO4HKX. Dave, I hope you're feeling all right. You sounded a little rough there.
I don't know how the car went in the house.
What I was saying is those trucks, when they've done that before, most of the time, if I remember right, it was that four-wheel drive low input switch shorting out. It would get water in it or other transmission fluid seeping through it and cause an issue.
I may have to look into that a little bit more. It's, like I said, it's done it maybe about three times now that I remember off the top of my head, but like I said, usually it's so quick that, you know, I don't really get a chance to take a picture of it or anything. And like I said, one time I had to cut the truck off a time or two, and then it finally went away, but I don't know. You know, once something starts popping up like that, I start getting worried about my truck holding up, so I won't try to jump on it early.
Maybe I can meet up with you one afternoon and scan it, see what's going on, because with another scanner that's not just OBD2 specific, you can get into the dealer specific side of things, and you can see a whole lot more of what's going on.
On my laptop that hooks to my wireless OBD reader that I keep plugged up in the truck. I wonder if it'll let me buzz the was it the glow plugs? I don't remember now. I know I can, you can buzz each cylinder to make sure it's working right. And it's got all kinds of crap. I don't know what it is. It goes well over my head.
Be able to do it with that, but even some of those are a little iffy on some of the dealer-specific stuff. So maybe we can meet up one evening when I get my demo back from where it's at now. I got it loaned out, and we can take a look at it. Maybe I can refresh my memory between now and then about what's going on. But I am going to have to hop out. My son just pulled up, so I'm going to have to take care of that and get it done and over with before it gets dark. Andrew, you be safe on the rest of your trip, and I'll talk to you in the morning. KO4HGX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
Good luck with your job there on the son's car, and hopefully we'll talk at you in the morning. I appreciate you keeping the company on my trip home. So 7-3-T, KO4CF, and I'll be standing by. Station, I can hear you in there, but I can't really make out what you're saying. You're just barely breaking the squelch on the repeater every once in a while.
This is KI4AUT. Is that any better?
Better, I can hear what you're saying.
I walk up to the top of the hill in the backyard to hit the tower. I'm on a handheld. I hadn't been able to get out, so I wasn't sure if I was even getting out or not. Thank you. KI4AUT.
You're definitely getting out. I tell you, if you're still here listening, one thing I did, one of my first antennas was a little 2-meter ground plane that you built off a connector, and it did wonders for my original HT that I had. So maybe look YouTube something like that. It's really cheap, and it kind of helps get the signal out off of that HT rubber ducky.
Yes, sir. I'll look into that. So it's a ground plane antenna for the HT.
2-meter ground plane or 2-meter 70-centimeter ground plane antenna. They're easy to make, and I ran that on my HT when I first started, and I was able to hit a lot more repeaters than just off the normal, and I just stuck it in one of the Weiss ficus trees, and it worked great. And again, I don't know if you're walking back down the hill, but yeah, you're getting in. I would just YouTube it if you're still listening. KO4CEF, standing by.
Assistant, 73, KI4AUT clear.